A note about this episode. We encountered some unexpected mechanical interference while recording this episode. Unfortunately, the audio in certain sections was affected. Students' voices matter, however, and we have chosen not to let this challenge or any other prevent us from sharing important conversations.
This is No More Silence, a podcast dedicated to bringing an end to youth violence in Toledo. This is a youth-led podcast bringing high school and university students together with community leaders and experts to learn about the complex causes of youth violence. Experts will discuss initiatives in the city, trauma-informed communities, opportunity networks, the courage required of nonviolence, and much more. The podcast will bring to light youth experiences that stay hidden to the general community. Adults and youth will also share poetry considering the impact of adultism, which is an adult bias against youth. No More Silence is the result of the Ram Empowerment Project and Fearless Writers, two local programs fostering youth-led activism and knowledge creation.
Welcome to episode 4 of No More Silence, Why Violence? On this episode, TPS high school students who have been part of Ram Empowerment Project will be discussing the impact of violence and what youth see as possible solutions to the problem. The questions posed to each student in this episode were designed by high school students. My name is Tina DeBord, and I am a library media specialist at Rogers High School. On today's episode, we talk with youth advocates from Ram Empowerment Project about what they think contributes to youth violence and their thoughts on how peer groups influence exposure to violence. Today, we will also be talking with Josh Davies, who is the Youth Commissioner of Save Our Community. Josh will discuss the complex causes of youth violence and the opportunity networks being built to undo the impact of historic neighborhood segregation in Toledo and in the U.S.
Hi, my name is Hyder, and I'm a senior at Rogers High School.
It's good to see you, Hyder. So I'm thinking back to one of the, I believe it was a Ram Empowerment meeting, where we were talking about this podcast and putting it together and coming up with questions that we could ask each other and ask members of the community as a way to start talking. And I remember you brought this proverb to the table at one point, basically as a discussion point. So I'd like to hear what you think this proverb means. Tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you will become.
It's always like this effect that like you are the people you hang around type of thing. This is where it stemmed from. I always look back at my friends. Are they people who I want to be around? Are they violent people? Are they good people? Are they trusting people? And so it's like it's a reflection to who I am, because like this says, you will become them. So.
So you say that you look back at that. So do you sometimes like put your friends in check? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. If your friends aren't trusting people, then you're not really friends then.
Okay. So say you find yourself in a situation where you have put your friends in check and you're thinking, these people aren't such a great influence on me. How difficult or how easy is it to walk away from an established friendship? And not necessarily from your experience, but even from your perspective.
Right.
If you know that something is a bad influence, can you walk away? And by you, I mean like young people.
It's always gonna be hard to remove yourself from something like that, something that you enjoyed. But if at the end of the day is like truly something that is just bad for you, then you should definitely distance yourself from it. And my experience, distance is like how you do that, you know what I mean? You just separate yourself from it.
Has your friend group influenced your experience of violence?
My friend group isn't really violent at all. At least I hope not, you know what I mean? But they could be debative, but never violent. And so that gives me, like, reassurance that I'll never be violent, I guess. So, but in some cases, you know, we all do share our own opinions. This proverb isn't really, like, you know, you will become them type of thing. You aren't, like, mirrors to each other, but you will share, like, reflectiveness towards each other, so yeah.
I am curious about, so I've asked a couple of students these questions or similar questions, and it seems like most students are very level-headed when it comes to this. They know that they can recognize when they're feeling unsafe, and they just put themselves in a better situation.
Right.
But it makes me wonder, at what point does that become a skill that we have? So we've been talking with high school students, and you guys seem to be very wise, but I'm wondering, do you have any sense of when you got that awareness of, like, knowing that the people around you can have an effect on you?
I think it's up to the individual. It's like some people are more ready than others to acknowledge that, I guess. Because you can't say that, you know, an 18-year-old, you can get married at 18, but not everyone can get married at 18, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to the person and who they are and what experiences they share. So, I mean, I would guess around, like, 6th grade, but for maybe up till 11th, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're really, like, not out there.
Yeah. It kind of depends on your maturity level.
Right.
And your experiences.
You can even go younger, too, you know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. Do you think violence is the result of racism?
Yeah. Racism can definitely stem into violence. Just saying that, like, I hate someone because of their skin, or I think they're better than them, that can definitely spark some violence. Just by seeing them succeed more than me could make me think that they're better than me, and that can cause some violence and just some hate. And hate can cause violence. So just that whole effect can do that.
Have you seen that play out in your own communities, or do you know that these things happen from seeing it from a distance, or maybe seeing it on television or other types of media?
Definitely hearing it from someone or seeing it, or like seeing it on TV, things like that, for sure.
Is there anything that you would like to add on this topic? Any questions that I didn't ask, or things that you would add to this conversation?
The main stem of violence, maybe, something like that, right? Because, I mean, racism could definitely be it, but the main stem for racism, which is be hate, you know what I mean? Hating someone else, or just trying to make yourself feel better.
Okay.
And then, you know, blaming someone else type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. So racism is just one form of hate. So you're thinking that underneath all violence is hate, essentially.
Right. For the most part, right? I'm trying to think of other scenarios where, like, it couldn't be hate. Maybe you could think of something. No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think it's just hate, right?
Yeah.
Hate, and maybe even fear.
I'm thinking back to what you said too. I don't know if you used the word comparison. Maybe you did, but any time where people can see a difference between themselves and somebody else, and they use it as leverage to be better or
right
better in some way.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Lucas, and I'm a senior at Rogers High School.
Good to see you today, Lucas. What is meant by this Spanish proverb? Tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you will become.
When I hear this proverb, I think that what they meant by it is that your friends mold who you become over time. And so if your friends are violent or have criminal behaviors, then you will also start to adapt some of those behaviors. But if your friends are also good models, like grade A students, and like participate, maybe volunteer after school, and you hang out with them, maybe you'll do some of those activities too, and you'll become a better person. So it's all about how your friends mold who you become.
Mm-hmm. At what age do you think kids become conscious of their friends' influence on them?
I feel like it's probably later on, maybe like fifth grade, sixth grade, around there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the same. How does your friend group influence your experiences of violence?
I feel like if your friend or anyone in the friend group is violent, then there will be some sort of influence. But your friend group is also your choosing of people who you want to be with. So if you're choosing to be with those people, that also means that you choose to affiliate with their activities. So if they're bad or have criminal like tendencies, then you'll also have those tendencies because you choose to hang with them. But if you choose to hang out with grade A students and volunteers and people who work after school or do sports, then you'll have a much more positive, you know, experience.
What kind of people did you grow up with that were positive influences? Give us specific examples if you can.
Some examples of positive influences that you grew up with. I feel like most people would include their parents, their siblings, but then also teachers and school staff. They're probably the most positive influences that most younger children have throughout their day, because children mostly during their day are at school or outside playing, and then they sleep and repeat the process, especially when you're younger. But then as you get older, you know, life becomes more work and work, and then your positive influences probably change to people who give better life advice, like a life coach or someone who promotes like being fit or, you know, going to college or something like that.
What kind of people did you grow up with that were negative influences?
I wouldn't say that I really grew up with much negative influence, because I tend to avoid negative influence when I see it, because I don't like being affiliated with negative people, because at the end of the day, it's just going to bring my personal like emotions down, and I don't want to deal with that troubles. But a lot of negative influences that many people can see is in like reality shows or a lot of TV shows in general, like TV shows like Beyond Scared Straight, where they have misbehaved children going to prison to see what it's like to be in prison, because that's how they're acting and that's where they're going to be. But I feel like seeing other people in that situation, you're like, yeah, that's, I don't want to be in, like when you see someone in prison, you're like, I don't want to be in prison, because it looks like a bad place to be in. Like, you don't want to put yourself in worse conditions than you already live in.
Hi, my name is Jaden, and I'm a senior at Rogers High School.
It's good to see you, Jaden.
It's good to see you, too.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm trying to think back to how you got involved with RAM Empowerment.
I got involved with RAM Empowerment through you, actually. There was a little note card in the library, and it said, how would you solve gun violence? And we had a conversation on it in the moment, and then you invited me to the RAM Empowerment program initially.
I remember that now. That was last year during kind of near the end of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for getting involved.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. During one of our meetings, I can't remember if you were there, but another one of the students who's involved with this project brought up this Spanish proverb when we were kind of talking about influence, how young people are influenced by friends and that kind of thing. So I wanted to ask you about this Spanish proverb today. What is meant by this Spanish proverb? Tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you will become.
I think personally it's the idea that your friends, the people you surround yourself with, reflect you as a person. So the things they're into, it's more likely you will be into. And the people they like, it's more likely you will like.
Okay, so how old are you right now?
I'm 17.
Okay, so you know that. You've got that wisdom in you. When do you think you became aware of that? Would you say as a younger person you were aware that who you hang out with, who you are around influences you, or is that something you learned over time?
It was something I learned over time, kind of going into my teenage years, because my dad kind of said a similar saying to me one time after getting in trouble with some friends, and it just stuck with me.
Can you share the saying?
It was verbatim. I can't remember it, but it was along these exact same lines.
Okay.
Yeah, these are one of those things that's like timeless. I don't know when this Spanish proverb was first put in writing, but it is one of those things that's like common sense kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine that parents are often telling their kids things like this all the time. So would you say that your friend group does influence your experience of violence?
In different ways. I don't think they like pull me into violence, but it gives me different perspectives on things like youth violence, violence in the home, because of all the different backgrounds the people I surround myself come from. So they experience my lens on violence.
Okay, that's interesting. So when you say that friends don't pull you into violence, is that because of who they are and what their values are, or is it because you resist to some degree?
To a margin is to because of who they are and the kind of people I surround myself with. But there's always those times where even your closest friends can be the kind of people to pull you into violent situations, and I'm just not the kind of person to go into any of that.
Yeah, good for you. If you are around the wrong people, will you start to change?
Yeah, there's a possibility, but I myself like to think that I have enough moral value and thicker skin to not do something like that.
Do you share moral and emotional reasoning values with your friends? And in what ways? Elaborate if you can.
Oftentimes I share moral and emotional values with my friends because we kind of bounce those kinds of ideas off each other. Like if we're talking like a big political issue or a social issue, we can talk about it. And even if we're coming from completely different standpoints, we can come to this middle ground where we will start to change our ideals to bounce off one another. So that can go with our ideas on violence, our ideas on spirituality, social issues, political issues, the whole, etc.
Yeah, that makes sense. So when you're meeting a friend for the first time, or you're meeting somebody new and you think, oh, this person could become a friend, at what point does that become something that you gauge? Like their values, is it automatic or is it something that kind of happens slowly?
For me, it happens slowly, but it really sticks when we come into a situation where your values and morals will be coming into question for me personally.
Okay, so if you're in a situation where a person's moral values are tested and you can see who they really are, that becomes when you know whether or not they'd be a good friend?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, thanks for talking with me today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you inviting me.
Hi, my name is Cheyenne Metz, and I'm a senior at Rogers High School.
Thanks for talking with us today, Cheyenne. Can you tell me what is meant by this Spanish proverb? Tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you will become.
What I think is meant by the Spanish proverb is that when you have friends, they are people who you choose to be a part of your daily life. They influence your behaviors subconsciously, consciously. They influence how you think. They influence. These are the people that you're allowing in your life, period. So what I think this proverb means is that when you decide to make your friends and when you decide to allow certain people in your life, ultimately you're going to be influenced from them and you will become them. You will become a reflection of them. You will become one with them because at the end of the day, they're in your life. There's something in somebody, in their energy, somebody that you've allowed in. So their decisions become yours, your decisions become them, because like the saying says, birds of a feather flock together. So yeah.
And of course that influence can go in a positive direction and a negative direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that your friend group can influence your experiences of something like violence?
I do think that my friend group, or even a friend group in general, can influence my experience or experience of violence, period. I believe in this because whether you're going through something or they're going through something, that's your friend. So they're going through it with you or you're going through it with them. So this may amp up your experience of violence because you may not be having it done to you, but you're witnessing it firsthand. So it gives you that experience. It gives you something to learn from. It gives you something to see.
Do you think that big crowds and parties lead to violence?
I feel like it depends on the situation and the crowd that you're around. I feel like the intention that's set. So say, for example, it's a party, it's a local party, where local kids, where kids from all around come together, I do feel like violence is more prone to happen. But if it's a more secluded party where invitations are sent out separately, it's more private, I feel like violence wouldn't be included or wouldn't be expected to happen because of the intention set behind it. It's more selective, it's more, you know, thoughtful of what's going to happen. But I feel like if it's a big crowd and big party, then I feel like violence definitely can be an outcome and is a likely outcome because of the different people that will be around and different personalities and different just differences in one big crowd can cause a lot of catastrophe. So,
is there anything you want to add to the conversation?
I feel like teens, not even teens overall, but humans, this world, we all experience violence in some way, some form. Whether if we're getting it from the media, if we're witnessing it at ourselves, experiencing ourselves, witnessing it secondhandly, you know, knowing somebody that's going through, I feel like at the end of the day, there's so much going on in this world where we're all experiencing some form of violence, some type of violence, and it's more than just a issue that can be solved quickly and easily. It takes a lot of people, it takes all of us, everybody, to solve a lot of these violent issues because it's not good.
Right.
We have a long history of fighting each other and battling each other, but you know what they never say? They never say that two people sat down to talk to each other to understand why they feel some type of way and why I feel some type of way, to come to an agreement, okay, well, I'll work with you because if I was in your position, I could see why that I'll feel some type of way instead of just being arrogant or dismissive and, oh, I don't like that, I don't care what you have to say, this is my world, I'm choosing violence, I'm choosing to punish you, I'm choosing the right to take away your life, I'm choosing this, when it can all be fixed by a conversation. Because at the end of the day, our actions, the decisions we make, not only affect us, but it affects everybody.
What do you think keeps people from doing that in the first place? Like, I'm thinking of, yes, it sounds great to have people come to be on the same page, to establish common ground. And I think that there is an awareness that that can be part of a solution, but that doesn't often happen. Do you have a sense of why that doesn't happen?
I feel as if it could be, one of the reasons could be because of their morals and how they have grown up. A lot of people were taught as they were growing up to, for one, based off what they seen growing up, like, maybe they haven't grown up to see people resolving things. Maybe they grew up around violence and that's all they know. Or their morals, like they haven't morally learned that this is right and this is wrong. And hey, other people have feelings too. Other people have lives too. Other people are here as well. They haven't taken themselves out that box to realize, I'm not just this only person in the world. It's not just me. They haven't taken themselves out that box. So I feel like it has to do with a lot with morals and where you see yourself and how you apply yourself to things. And if you're thinking, if you're being aware, self-aware, but aware of everything else around you. Because like I said before, we're sharing this world with a billion people. Our decisions, this one decision that we think that's just going to go off and we're going to forget about the next day, it's going to affect somebody else's life, whether we realize it or not. And that's, I just feel like it's the lack of awareness for other people, the lack of sensibility and emotional understanding we have of other people, and ultimately your morals. Because we have, each person has a self-compass. We have our rights, we have our wrongs, and we have our self-consciousness. And a lot of people's morals and self-consciousness has been alternated from how they've grown up, what they've seen, what they've been around. So I feel as that's where the problem starts. It all starts from the beginning. Because from the beginning, we take in what we can, and that becomes what we know.
just learning how to breathe. So when we're taking in from the two people that's supposed to be our parents, whatever they learned, their traumas, their what they've learned with their experience, that's getting passed on to us. So we're taking our knowledge and our experiences from somebody else. And then as we get older and start to experience our own and learn our own, that's when we use that's when we start to use our own thinking and our own personal thoughts, but the stuff that was passed down onto us alternates that. So it's like we really can't think for ourselves sometimes because we have the base of other people's experiences.
Right. But as you become more mature, you come into your own and you start to make your own decisions with confidence. And that was one of the questions I had about this whole thing too. I feel like high school students have more wisdom than elementary school students and middle school students when it comes to these things. Mm-hmm. Like they, you know, this is not, I'm not in a good place, this is not a good influence on me, and you can make a decision to remove yourself from that. And that comes with age and experience. It's not always easy for, or elementary school students don't have the skill to do that necessarily, and that's when friend groups are forming. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing about it too, like as they get older and they keep that friend group, mm-hmm. it's probably difficult to say, I need new friends.
Because it's what you're used to. It's
right.
Like, I've grown accustomed to you. I learned you. I learned this how you are. I adapted to it. It's like, what's, yeah.
Yeah. Especially, and then also, how do you find a new group of friends? That's not an easy task,
yeah.
You know? So, but you come to the table with a lot of wisdom. I appreciate hearing from you.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Josh Davis, and I am the commissioner of the school-based Save Our Community team within the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement. Our team has violence interrupters and outreach specialists working at four high schools here in Toledo, three TPS schools, and also Maritime Academy. And I'm really happy to be here. I actually used to work at Rogers, so it means a lot for me to be back and able to see what the students are doing with this podcast. It seems like a great project. Do I think gangs are part of the problem? What is being done to address gangs? What percentage of the gun violence problem do I think is gun-related? A lot of people, when they think about gun violence, think about gang violence. It's what we hear on the news a lot. It's in our media. It's in movies and whatnot. What we see in the data that we examine on gun violence here in Toledo is that that model of the corporate gang structure, where it's organized, coordinated gang violence, isn't really reflective of what's happening here in our city. A lot of the violence that we see has more interpersonal origins, where there is retaliation. There might be a group of people who come together following an incident where a common friend of theirs may have been lost to gun violence, and they orchestrate a retaliation, something of that nature. But it doesn't really fall into what I would view as our normal understanding of a gang. There are gangs in Toledo. That's not really the purview of our office. Our office doesn't have any work that's explicitly tied to gangs, but our law enforcement does. Toledo Police Department does have officers who are working to address gangs in Toledo, but I would let them speak to that. That's not really our area of expertise. But the issues that contribute to gun violence, a lot of times when we're thinking about who needs the support from our office, when we're looking at who should be a participant within Save Our Community, there are certain factors that we look at that increase someone's risk of experiencing gun violence. That tends to include past exposure to gun violence. So if someone has been shot at but not hit, if there is someone within their social network, a close friend or family member, who's been shot or even lost to gun violence, that past exposure increases the risk of future exposure. We also look at neighborhood shootings. So if there was a shooting into a home on someone's street, that is a traumatic exposure to gun violence. It has measurable impacts on the people within a half mile radius of that shooting. So we look at that. How frequently and how close has their past exposure to gun violence been? How do peers contribute to the problem. So I think our social network has a big impact on us. If we're exposed to gun violence repeatedly, if a lot of our friends or family members have been impacted by gun violence, that means that we're in a social network where gun violence is a reality and increases our risk. Peers can also be part of the solution, though. And I think that the work that you all are doing with this podcast and the other projects in the RAM Empowerment Project that you're doing to raise awareness around gun violence shows that a peer group can be part of the solution as well. I think ways that peers contribute also, if there's like the loyalty to family, to friends, where if something impacts a close friend of ours, then it impacts us and we take it personally and feel an obligation to be part of it. So that can have a conflict spread from being between two people to being between two social groups. Because if I'm being drawn into a conflict, then all my friends are gonna have my back and wanna help support me in that and deal with it. And we can see stuff spread and escalate through social networks like that. Are there times that are riskier to be out as a young person in Toledo? Our office has looked into specific times of day that might be riskier or where more incidents occur. Unfortunately, with our data here in Toledo, we haven't been able to figure that out yet, but we are looking into it. What I can tell you is that looking at national data, so this is just aggregate data for our country as a whole, there are certain times that are riskier, and it tends to be early to mid-afternoon across the country. Incidents of gun violence among older teens aged 15 to 18 peaks at around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's right when school's getting out. And we've seen a few incidents here in Toledo where immediately after school or after dismissal, something has happened. What can young people do to protect themselves from gun violence? I think that as a society, it shouldn't be up to the young people to protect themselves from a social issue of this magnitude and severity. I think the fact that this question is being asked is quite sad. I think that the adults in our society need to be thinking about addressing this problem more holistically. But we haven't seen that. This issue has not received the attention I think it merits. Our office has only been in existence for a few years within the mayor's office, and we have seen significant decreases in gun violence in that time. I also think it's important to point out that the people who are most impacted by a problem are also the closest to a solution. So there's definitely a role for young people. We need to center their voices and hear their experience, their ideas, and find ways to support that. So I almost think that when it comes to how can young people address gun violence, that's for you to tell us and for us to listen to you. But practically speaking about this question, to protect yourself from gun violence or your peers, conflict on social media, as I said earlier, really can spill out into real world consequences. And being mindful of how conflict is handled, how you approach conflict, what you do when your friends are in conflict, can help to prevent things from escalating to the point where violence takes place. In what ways can young people be a part of the solution to gun violence? Another good question, I think clarifying the last question, I kind of talked about this in my previous answer, but young people can do a lot. This podcast, making sure that there is no more silence and that people are talking about this issue is very important, and finding ways for young people to center their voices, like I said, I haven't heard the episodes of this podcast yet, but I'd love to see some where the young people are asking themselves questions and giving their own experience to share so that we can hear your opinion. And I think our office tries to find youth-led projects to support. There was one last year that focused on creating an art space and doing an art show focused on peace and healing. There are a lot of small projects that can be done in your immediate community. I think taking on gun violence as a whole is a huge undertaking, but if each person focuses their efforts on a small scale, maybe just within their classroom or their school, then if that happens in enough places, we'll see progress overall. So young people being part of the solution to gun violence, I think that you all are doing a great job at that right here at Rogers and have a lot of experience to share with other young people in Toledo. I think sometimes it's just the courage and the willingness to think a big idea, think about what you want to see happen, and then finding a way to make that a reality. and not waiting for adults necessarily, but just forging your own path ahead like you all have done. And then the rest of us will try to catch up to the cool work that you're doing. Is there anything I would like the audience to know that was not covered in my answers to these questions? There's a lot of work that is being done around addressing gun violence here in Toledo. We have the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement, like I've talked about. We have our violence interrupters. And we also worked with the Community Action Table, which is a cross-sector group of community stakeholders, survivors of gun violence, community leaders, grassroots organizations, who met and developed a 5-year comprehensive plan to address gun violence. And that, we think, takes into account the many root causes of violence and the factors that contribute to the issue, and creates a holistic approach of what can be done throughout our city to help promote peace, reduce gun violence, and make Toledo a city where everyone feels hopeful and cared for and protected. And I would encourage people to check that out at toledo.oh.gov/peace and check out the plan there. And there are a lot of grassroots organizations and others who are really dedicated to this work, who are working day in and day out to support those who've been impacted by gun violence, to provide opportunities to youth, and to try to make gun violence an issue of the past. Our goal isn't to reduce gun violence, it's to eliminate it. And we have a long way to go with that. And I think that projects like this, where young people are standing up and taking a lead and finding ways that they can contribute to being a part of the solution, should give all of us hope. So I just want to commend all the Rogers students who are part of this and hope you all keep up the good work.
We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to University Church and the Greater Toledo Community Foundation for their early and continued support of RAM Empowerment Project. Please join us for Episode 5, where we talk with violence interrupters who are part of several schools in Toledo and are part of youth initiatives to end gun violence at the City of Toledo. I am Tina DeBoard, and you have been listening to No More Silence.
WGTE. Voices Around Us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.